The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have a couple of women who are involved in the Small Business Association, an actual entrepreneur, and a woman from the Small Business Administration. And the reason they're here is because last week was National Small Business Week. I think it's very important for many of my listeners to know what's going on with the SBA, if they're considering starting a business, or if they are a woman-owned business, some of the help that the SBA can provide them, and maybe some practical tips here, what's going on in the world of women-owned small businesses. In the studio this afternoon, we have Emily Ray, president at Ray International, and Amy Kim, women-owned small business program manager at SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Morning. Thank you for having us.
Emily, tell us about your background, please.
Well, John, I'm actually from two Washingtons, so to speak. I grew up in Washington State, was born in Redmond, which, as your listeners who are working in tech will know, is the headquarters of Microsoft. We're also surrounded now by Amazon and Tableau Software and a lot of the other companies that are very proudly growing around the United States and the rest of the world. And then I also grew up the second part of my life near the Canadian border in a very small farming town called Linden, Washington. I think we still have the world record for raspberry growth per capita. So have a little bit of a city and country in my soul. And I moved out to D.C. in about 2006 and went from there. So,
and you still say we, though, when you talk about the state of Washington.
That's correct. I know I have to correct people all the time. But both Washington's very much a part of my life.
You have a strong educational background, don't you?
You know, I do. Both my parents were educators, and I'm very proud of that. In fact, they still volunteer as substitute teachers. And I worked very hard coming out to D.C. and consider myself a lifelong learner. I think that's something many women do, and that's why they're so successful in business. And yeah, absolutely. I encourage people to grow and educate themselves throughout their life, especially in tech.
Well, you're very humble. You have a master's degree, and studied over in London for a while too, right?
I did. I was at the University of Oxford, and I focused on human rights law there. And you know, you'd think I'd be practicing law now, and instead I'm setting up my own company and looking at the tech industry. And so it's good to continue to broaden your horizons. But absolutely.
Good example of a woman-owned small business.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Amy, your background, please.
I was born and raised in South Korea. I came to this country about 2000 for graduate school, and then I was planning to go back, and then I met my husband. So I came out to Washington, D.C. area in 2004, and I've been working for various government entities, state and federal government. And prior to coming to this position, I was working as a small business professional for the Department of the Navy. And last year, I became aware of the job opening at SBA. They are looking to fill the position as the Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager. I jumped at the opportunity because this is one great opportunity for me to work on my two passionate issues, women and small businesses. So I've been here in this job ever since.
Oh, wow. It's really good. Now, the Small Business Administration has been around since about 1953. So what are the core values, or what's the strategy? What's behind the ideas behind the Small Business Administration?
Small Business Administration is probably the only agency that whose single mission is to aid, assist, and protect the interests of small businesses. I decided to work for the SBA because this is one agency where everyone works toward the same goal. And we make a direct impact on small businesses on a daily basis.
Capital, contracts, counseling, those big three, huh?
Yeah. And I'm doing contracting and counseling on a daily basis. I love working with the women-owned small businesses. I like to call them WOSB because, you know, women-owned small businesses, and also we would like to wow people.
Wow, WOSB, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, Emily, your company's called Ray International. You can find you at RAE. International.com.
That's
right. So do you work with the SBA, or what's your relationship here?
Absolutely. I've been very pleased to meet Amy this year, and I've been so supported by the Small Business Administration Resources for Women in Business. I set up my firm as a commercial diplomacy firm, and as I've gotten more into the federal contracting space, I realize how important it is for women like myself to have resources at their fingertips and have opportunities for them. And so I set myself up as a women-owned small business through the SBA program. And I'm very proud of that fact. It's very easy to do and again, get started. And of course, you know, we encounter challenges along the way. But I met Amy. I actually wrote a memo on my experience as a woman in small business and delivered it to her. And so, you know, it was very honored. We were called to meet with SBA headquarters a couple of weeks ago to do a roundtable about women experiences. And we actually were joined by Linda McMahon, who was very gracious in her time with us and applauded our efforts. So I feel very encouraged about the state of the program and especially the support of Amy Kim.
Yeah, if I may add, Emily is a very impressive woman. And she's very persistent, but she's not aggressive, but she's very proactive. I was just so impressed with the two-page memo she wrote for the program.
Well, by the way, Amy Kim is very famous because she was quoted in federalnewsradio.com a few months back, and they had a whole article written about women-owned small businesses and some of the different programs that are out there. And I think there are a lot of women who are maybe considering, you know, I teach in the graduate school at Georgetown. I have a class, probably one-third women, and I say, look, you may want to start your own company in 3 or 4 years. You may want to start your company now or next
That's
week,
right.
or your husband might start, but you have to know some of the basic principles of where you can get help. And I think if there's help out there for offering people ideas on how to start businesses. And I've read several articles about women-owned small businesses, and there's some specific challenges that women have that men don't. And I think you address a lot of those. I think one of the main issues is access to funding. You know, if you look at what's going on with many women-owned small businesses, they don't seem to get funding as easily as men do. And you can step in there and help, can't you, Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to approach government contracting as a way to, you know, to be able to grow your business. You know, you might have trouble getting funding, but, you know, through government contracts, you can actually, you know, increase your revenue, and you can actually develop steady stream of, you know, revenue sources. Those two kind of come in handy. You know, the lenders will be more interested in you. You actually have, you know, steady customers coming in through government contracts. They tend to be very reliable customers. I'm not saying government contracts are everyone. They're not really easy, but once you have it in your, you know, portfolio, lenders were more likely to be interested in lending to you as well.
Yeah, and may I add, it's very important, I think, for women to step into the federal contracting space. When you look at their representation in the economy as a whole, they make up half the jobs in the U.S. economy. They're generating 8.5 million people and $1.6 trillion in revenue. They hold less than 25% of the STEM jobs, which are science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So I think it's important for them to start their own businesses and enter the space because then we'll be bringing all of the U.S. resources that we have to bear in this.
I was talking to June Marshall, who owns a company called Riparia over in Arlington, and she said that when she was an undergraduate as a freshman, she walked into her computer programming class. She was the only woman in there. A young man turned to her and said, "You don't fit," and she walked out. Now, June's father has 3 patents for software development, and so June taught herself and started her own software company. So these are some of the obstacles women have to face. I mean, this is a real serious problem. I have 2 daughters. I've got a wife and 3 sisters. I understand some of the things women have to go through. And so this is just, let's put the cards on the table. You know, and the cards, by the way, sometimes are stacked against women entrepreneurs, and it's not fair. It's just not fair.
And there are various resources out there. You know, SBA's, one of the SBA's functional program offices, Office of Women Business Ownership, and they actually work closely with women business centers throughout the world, throughout the country, to develop and promote resources to enhance women's readiness for public and private procurements. So I would like to encourage listeners to go to the SBA website and search for Office of Women Business Ownership. They should be able to find a wealth of information on the website.
So SBA.gov, and I went there this morning. It's almost like a commercial site. It's mm-hmm. got a picture of a human being there. It has a call to action. You can scroll down. There's a blog. I'm saying, is this really a .gov? No, it's a .gov. I don't know who designed it, but I was scrolling through there and had it, you know, in the current commercial world, the websites are very big and boxy and have calls to action. You scroll down. It's check, check, check. Maybe a small business woman designed that site. I don't know, but it's a really nice site.
Yeah, this is a major change because a couple of years ago, it took almost like 5 or 6 clicks to get to the right place within SBA. So beginning a couple of years ago, we really started ramping up and revamping our website to make it a little bit more user-friendly. So our approach is let the unique visitors to go to the program office website in 2 or 3 clicks. So in government speak, this is a major, major challenge.
Huge.
Because we have a lot of barriers, technology barriers that are built up so that we can't really, make these changes very easy. But this is a really, really significant change for us.
Yeah, I think it should win an award, but I don't give out awards for sites.
I'll take that.
It should. I'll nominate it. Somewhere. Well, let's take a break, come back, talk more about other organizations in town that may work with, and maybe some of my listeners can tap into and learn about ways to start their own company or maybe improve their existing company. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Emily Ray, president at Ray International, and Amy Kim, Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager at the SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Emily Ray, President at Ray International, RAE International, and Amy Kim, Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager at the SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Well, I'm going to open up with a story. In the break, we talked about Georgetown University, and Georgetown just hired Dr. Maria Trujillo. She has a PhD from Tulane, master's and bachelor's in engineering, real smart woman. And so when she was in high school, they had the high school competition, the top five math students got to go on this trip. And she was the top 10 get to go on the trip. She was number 10, and they said, sorry, you're a woman, you can't go. We're going to bring the number 11, the man.
Uh-huh.
And Maria said, really? And so she went on to get a degree in engineering.
I think
that's a story that resonates with many women in town here. I mean, maybe it's STEM, maybe it's medicine, maybe it's something, but the obstacles are formidable. And I think what you have to do is you have to have grit and determination and perseverance in order to overcome these. But you've heard stories like too, haven't you, Amy?
Yeah, I heard that a lot. And I'm just going to quote one of the reports that, the National Women Business Council published last year. The annual report published by the National Women Business Council provides the lack of contacts with the decision makers and lack of relationships with the actual buyers remain the single largest impediment for women gaining access to procurement opportunities. The same report also provides that certification remains essential for women businesses attempting to break into the corporate supply chain through corporate supplier diversity programs. The same can be said for the public procurement opportunities as well. Women face a lot of uphill battles. When I'm going to speak from my program perspectives, women need to get certified, through the government portal, and also they have to meet certain requirements. And the contracting officers also have certain responsibilities to meet when they conduct women-owned small business set-asides. So all this confusion and myth about the program led to some misunderstandings. So my job here at SBA is to try to clear some of the confusions and dispel some of the myths surrounding the programs and work with the small businesses every day. I provide regulatory guidance to women-owned small businesses when they try to qualify for federal contracts. And I also, part of my job is I provide training for federal contracting officers so that they can utilize this program to give more business opportunities to women-owned small businesses.
So Emily, I'm going to read a quote for you, and you can attack or defend it.
Mm-hmm.
So this quote from an article I read at the National Association of Women-Owned Businesses website, and they say that one of the challenges for women-owned businesses is building a support network. And they say that 48% of people in the one study reported lack of advisors to mm-hmm. help them with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other organizations that can help with building and coming up with a network, not an old boys network, but a network.
That's right. And, we've been actually very fortunate. We have been successful in overcoming those challenges, I think, by virtue of reaching out to SBA and for its support network. But I can vouch for those challenges occurring. I mean, just first of all, the success case. I mean, just this week, we got a contract that was women-owned with the Foreign Service Institute, and we're excited to work with them. We advise in the State Department and USAID as well. We've had opportunities that we've brought to the table through relationships. Where we actually have the funds reserved, the individual requesting us by name. And sometimes it's also general awareness of the program's legitimacy in the federal contracting space that we run into, where a contracting officer just may not even be aware of the Women-Owned Small Business Program existing. And it's actually been in place since 2011 and has undergone some changes, but primarily those changes are expansion of the program. And so what we're hoping to do is you know, come on the air and talk about those challenges, but also give women the ability to overcome them and the inspiration that it can be done. I mean, I'm one example of how we have been successful in that, but we're hoping that we can get beyond the 5% figure that, you know, we're aiming towards. There's a goal of 5% of small business contracting going to women. And I think we can pat ourselves on the back for achieving that, or we can step back and look at that figure and say, you know, that's still very small, a small percentage of the pie.
Well, Amy, if I walked up to you and I said 36% of all businesses are women owned, but only 5% of the federal contracts go to women, you would not believe. I don't believe it. It's true, though.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, we are facing a lot of headwinds. And one of the challenges for the women-owned small businesses in federal contracting spaces, this program is actually newest addition to the socioeconomic programs of small businesses. Other socioeconomic programs have been around for decades. So as Emily indicated a few times, there is a low awareness of the program in federal contracting space. But you know, part of my job or Emily's job on a daily basis is to try to raise awareness of the program. And my job here is to try to make it a little bit easier for small businesses to be able to pursue set-aside opportunities or receive sole-source contracts. And again, you know, I provide training and outreach to small businesses and federal contracting officers. For those listeners who are interested in Women-Owned Small Business Program, we have a we have posted a wealth of information on our website. So I'd like to direct listeners' attention to two different websites. My program website, www.sba.gov/WOSB, and we also have various resources for small businesses looking to become government contractors. The website address is www.sba.gov/contracting. So we have all this information. And then, like, just, you know, commenting on your prior comment, let me share some of the observations I have made throughout my career. You know, in government contracts, building relationships, I can't just emphasize enough of the importance of cultivating relationship. By virtue of reaching out to, you know, your potential customers, they're not going to hand you a contract right there because they know you. But why is that important? It's because, you know, by communicating with your potential customers, you actually understand their needs better. And then you increase your chances of winning government contracts. I was in my previous career, I was a small business professional, but my job was to meet with the small businesses every day. I used to meet with three small businesses on a daily basis. And on many, many days, it's just, you know, there wasn't no woman on small business that approached me and explore opportunities with the agency. I think, you know, we women, I'm a woman myself, sometimes we have a little bit of a tendency, like until I'm really, really ready, or maybe they're not interested in me. So like, you're a little bit hesitant to, you know, knock on the door and start the conversation, but it's very, very important. Please reach out to the people.
Absolutely. I think also just awareness that the program exists is so important, and be tenacious. You know, young women out there that are thinking about starting a company, you know, you may be told from time to time, it happened to me, that the women-owned program doesn't even exist.
Huh.
So I had to sort of educate people about that as a first step. So you are going to be treated differently. It's not going to be fair, but be tenacious and go forward. And I think it's going to give you a backbone of steel. It's also going to help you be a better advisor for your clients when they're overcoming their challenges and be a better business owner.
So, Amy, what SBA does, it facilitates the discussion between you and a customer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee, it gives you an opportunity to prove yourself, mm-hmm. but the door is at least not locked.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So SBA, open up the door, you have to walk in and prove yourself.
Absolutely.
It's a two-step process. Uh-huh. So just because you open up the door doesn't mean someone's going to sit there with a purchase order for you. You have to compete, and obviously there's a lot of women who are competent in many different areas, and so it's a door opener, I guess, huh?
Yep.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And then, you know, what we do is we provide resources to enhance women's readiness or public and private procurement opportunities. And for my part, I have, you know, collaborated with various resource partners, such as procurement technical assistance centers throughout the country, to educate the women-owned small businesses on how to qualify for these type of set-aside contract or sole source awards. And also, you know, I go to different events to just, you know, interact with the women-owned small businesses and, you know, listen to what their issues are. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to speaking on July 21st, 2017, at a Challenge Her event in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Challenge H-E-R.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is correct. If you need more information, Challenge Her is a partnership among SBA, Women Impacting Public Policy, and American Express. This is a great workshop, and this is a great opportunity to meet your potential customers.
Let's take a little break and come back. When we come back, we'll talk more about these partnerships with Challenge, H-E-R, American Express Open, and a group called WIPP, which I think that stands for Women Impacting Public Policy. Let's take a break, talk more about some of those organizations. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Emily Ray, president at RAE Ray International, and Amy Kim, Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager at the SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Emily Ray, President at RAE Ray International, and Amy Kim, Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager at SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Now, on the radio, I don't like to toss out acronyms or abbreviations, but it's WOSB, pronounced WOSB.
Yeah, WOSB.
WOSB. Yeah, WOSB. WOSB Program Manager. You know, at the beginning of the show, I talked about last week was National Small Business Week. That's where we're having in, talking about small business and women opportunities. My experience has been that I'm pretty good at listening and learning, and I'm pretty good at reading and learning, but face-to-face is where I can get the most information. I can size someone up, find out if they respond to my questions, and I just look around the audience and grab people and ask questions. So I really like face-to-face opportunities. I encourage it with my students. I encourage it with everyone I meet. So if we're listening to this interview and go, Amy Kim, I'd like to maybe see what she has to say, maybe give her a few questions face-to-face, see if she's really smart. Can they meet you anywhere? Or what kind of opportunities do they have to do that?
Yeah, actually, we have an upcoming event in July, and it's called the Challenge Her. Challenge Her is a partnership among SBA, Women Impacting Public Policy, and American Express to assist women to gain access to federal contract market. And the next week, we have one event. We actually tour around the country to hold various workshops and also matchmaking events with the actual buyers. And the one that's coming up next week is in Boise, Idaho. And one after that, we have a major event, mega event in Houston, Texas, May 16th. That also has matchmaking component.
Things are always bigger in Texas.
Yeah, we'll be there.
And then I'm scheduled to speak in Challenger July event, July 21st in Silver Spring, Maryland. One thing about this event, we actually partner with the Department of Defense, and this will be an awesome opportunity for women and small businesses come out and meet with the decision makers.
Exactly. Remember, that's it. Face to face.
Yeah, the report findings that I cited a few minutes ago. You know, cultivating relationship with the decision makers is absolutely critical. Women, because of the skills we have, I think we are actually better in face-to-face meetings and communicate our capabilities and understand their needs. So
where's the website we can go to register for that?
It's challengeher.us.
challengeher, challengeher.us.
Yes.
Good. I'll ask Emily, yes. So are these meetings boring? Do you learn anything?
Absolutely.
Or do you sit in the back
not,
and
you know,
sleep? Or what's going on at these meetings?
It's really up to us women, isn't it? No, we keep it exciting. And I think this is also an exciting time for women. I mean, the National Women's Business Council recently reported women are launching more than 1,140 businesses a day, which is a remarkable figure. So, we expect a lot of women to turn out. And in the D.C. area, actually, we have a larger percentage of women business owners than some other areas of the country. We're also growing as a whole very quickly in the South, women business owners. So, no, it's up to us to keep it exciting. And I think all of those trends are indicators of that. We have an office in the beautiful Willard Office Building, located a block from the White House and the Treasury Building. We've got a great rooftop deck.
Lovely downtown Washington, D.C.
It is beautiful. We enjoy it there. And, we're doing very well, but we hope to host some events with women. And the one group also you mentioned earlier is Women Impacting Public Policy. You know, they're great even when you're not face-to-face. I just called them yesterday to, ask about their recent reports. They responded right away with some statistics to we could deliver today. And, I really think even when you can't get there, those women that are listening, if you've got a board meeting or something that day, don't worry. Reach out and look at the online resources.
If you're listening online and you're in Chicago or Tulsa, there are bunches of SBA's women's centers all across the country. It's like 100 of them. How many are there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more than 100 throughout the country. And And I mean, you know, there are various resource partners whose mission is to help small businesses. But because of the women are not really aware of all these resources out there, we have these women's business centers throughout the country to promote and develop resources for women entrepreneurs. And because we're on the topic of like high technology, so let me just make one comment about government contracting and women. I know there is a popular belief out there, women, I'm not trying to, you know, minimize the support services, but, you know, there is a perception out there women businesses are, they have a strong track record in providing support services, which is actually not the case. I pull the statistics from the government database on a regular basis, and FY16 data shows me that the women, you know, more than 24% of all contract dollars awarded to women under the Women Owned Small Business Program actually went to women owned small businesses in information technology services. So, which was a really, you know, very interesting finding. So that's something that I would like to, you know, share with the listeners. And, you know, if you're interested in going into technology and government procurement, this is a great opportunity.
There's a woman in town I met last week named Megan Metzger, and she runs an organization called Decode 42, and she's an incubator for small businesses. Mm-hmm. And I spoke with her about an hour, and I said, well, Megan, you know, you're pretty young, and usually someone who can look at a business, do gap analysis, and project sales, that usually takes someone with a few years on them like me. And I said, how'd you learn all this? She said, John, It's tough being a woman in business, and you have to learn these things quick. And so what she does is she looks at women-owned businesses. Men, she doesn't care about it. She wants them to be successful and profitable, and she evaluates them, and she incubates them and grows them. And so it's a good set of skills of a woman being very persistent and dedicated in a tough environment, but then this nurturing component kind of brings it along too. And I think that's what, Amy, you represent is, hey, we're the nurturing component. We can help you compete, connect you up, go face-to-face, meet Emily, meet someone else, and grow from there. So I think the nurturing works with a lot of these aspects.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I might also add technology helps women out. You know, it's great nowadays when you can display your results in a data visualization or something on your website. And so I think technology's helped women's merits stand up with those of men.
When I mentioned earlier about this thing of developing a network, and that's what Decode 42 does. And they work with incubators in town. There's Decode 42, there's 1776, there's Eastern Foundry, there's Mach 37, all these different incubators in town. And I think it's a good way to start developing a network outside of the woman-owned, because you can have you participated in any of these organizations besides the women-owned things?
In my previous career, I have. I don't really, you know, participate in various organizations, but I collaborate with, I partner with these organizations to reach out to small businesses. And last month, I was at the Department of Defense, DOD Information Systems Agencies, to meet with a small business to speak. At the Small Business Industry Day event. And earlier last week, I was actually at the Department of Navy Small Business Industry event. So this is one of the various venues through which I interact with the small businesses and help them, you know, gain an insight into the women-owned small business program as well as government procurement.
And so, Emily, you've actually had conversations with people and they've told you, well, nothing like that exists. Is that right? Well, Amy doesn't exist. She said, well, you don't exist, Amy.
Unfortunately, and I have. And, you know, there have been cases where someone's even requested our services personally. But, you know, what I found interesting about that is that women have an opportunity at that point. They can either stop and turn away, or they can say, look, you know, this is my opportunity to educate you, to build that relationship with a contracting officer, to help them understand the federal regulation that they refresh on annually, and use it as a way to stand up, I think, for other women. I mean, that's part of the reason I wanted to come on with Amy this morning is to say, look, it is possible, and it's by educating others and that we move the needle forward for women as a whole. And so, you know, I don't have any issue in saying, you know, I think other women should start their own businesses, compete against me for federal procurements or for private sector. I mean, women need to step in and help each other out. And so, yeah, we've had people we've need to educate, but I think then they grow an awareness and a respect for you as a business owner that is hard to measure. So,
Emily, I'm gonna quote the world famous Amy Kim.
Yes,
and she once said that your competitors are not your enemy. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you interact with your competitors, you can set the stage for a rightful set-aside for your organization. And that's an unusual perspective, as friends, enemies, other side. No, what you say is that, you know, get to know your competitors, find out what their strengths and weaknesses are. Perhaps you can fill each of the gap analysis, another company you can fill in, they can fill in with you and compete. So that's a pretty good advice, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the context in which I made the comment was in government contracts, to be able to set aside opportunity for women-owned small businesses, they have something called the rule of two, meaning that, you know, competition is everything in a federal procurement. So when you actually set aside a procurement for certain socioeconomic categories, you must have a reasonable expectation, two or more companies will submit an offer. So oftentimes when I was in my previous career as a small business professional, my efforts to set aside procurement for small businesses failed because I couldn't really demonstrate the rule of two would be met. So when you respond to government's request for information, make sure that you respond. That's the first thing you do. And in order to help government employees such as myself, and you actually throw in your competitors' information in there, there you go. The rule of two will be met right there.
We don't have a rule of two here. We have a rule of sponsors. And we have to take a break and let our sponsors get their messages out. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Emily Ray, President at Ray International, and Amy Kinn, Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager at SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we got double trouble. We have Emily Ray, President at Ray International, RAE. And we have Amy Kim, Women-Owned Small Business Program Manager at SBA's Office of Government Contracting. And if you like acronyms, WOSB may be applied here. So we have an event coming up in July, and you can go face-to-face with Amy, ask questions, and get all kinds of things answered. Now, normally what happens is someone's got to pay for the bagels. So who's supporting this little endeavor here in July?
Yeah, Challenge Her. We are talking about Challenger mm-hmm. event in Silver Spring, Maryland on July 21st. This is a partnership among SBA, Women Impacting Public Policy, and American Express. So to answer your question, it's American Express that pays the bills. Yes. They pay for coffee and bagels and some, you know, croissants.
And that's all. Because I read about American Express Open. I didn't know if it's a special initiative just for women or supporting women, but it's always good to have someone supporting the community in that case. All kinds of events coming up. Any interesting events last week that you heard about, Emily, that may be impactful for our audience?
Yes, absolutely. One that was very inspiring is an armchair chat held at the U.S. Institute of Peace with Linda McMahon and Ivanka Trump, where, you know, both women, I think, took time out of their very busy schedules to speak about the challenges that women face and encourage and inspire women. In part through their own stories. Administrator McMahon's always very open about her own story as a business owner, and that's something I actually think about when I face challenges of my own. So that was something inspiring for me, and I hope that we turn that around for other women in some of the mentorship programs that we do. I mentor a couple of young women who are certifying themselves as a WOSB or a women-owned small business, and I want to see them succeed. So get on a couple listservs. You'll be inundated with women-owned business emails in D.C. They're happening everywhere. So keep your eyes peeled and attend.
I think the mentor program is a good way to break through the old boy network and start your own network. And I think you develop your own relationships, and it works real well. I will talk about the elephant in the room. Finally, I'll talk about work-life balance. And unfair burden is put on many women in regards to starting a company, and a lot of challenges there. So, Amy, do you address this issue at all at the SBA?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm actually living through those challenges on a daily basis
You're
myself.
Juggling three things on the radio.
Yeah,
here.
And then you know, I hate to use this cliche, but women, I think we try really, really hard just to prove ourselves. We go extra miles, you know, for myself, you know, work a couple more hours here and there, just to show everyone that I'm capable. I have a lot to contribute to the organization. But going back to your comments about mentorship, I've been in the small business field more than 10 years. One of the things I have observed from small business owners is that many of them, they have great technical background, but what they lack is their business acumen. Not everyone knows how to hire and fire employees, how to manage your finances, how to do the business development. So, you know, that whole experience, women are more open to mentoring other business owners. So I really would like to advise business owners, women business owners, to go seek mentorship opportunities.
In the world of software development, there's this thing called agile software development and in working in collaboration. And all of a sudden, a skill set of communal consensus building is more and more important, which is exactly in the strike zone of many of the people listening here, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And you know, one great way to think about this is if any of you haven't visited the Library of Congress in the last few weeks, you should go to the Hill. There's this great mural that describes the evolution of technology for writing, which is, you know, an important technology for the human race. And we're really in the next stage of that mural. And, you know, I won't spoil it for your listeners, but go look in those pictures for where women are and where they're depicted and where they are in the leadership positions. And I think, you know, we have an opportunity to paint the next mural in the right way. And so, you know, that includes women business owners stepping up, continuing the trends, also the business community partnering with women. That's an important aspect. And then the government contractors considering us very seriously. We're a threat out there, a threat to be reckoned with.
Yeah. You know, Amy, one of the challenges of women-owned businesses in software or whatever is limited access to funding. And the recent statistics show that only 3% of the venture capitalist companies out there have female CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can the SBA help our listeners sort of think about starting a company or maybe need some money to advance or expand a company? Can SBA help in any way?
Yeah, we have various resources. Again, I hate to direct listeners to SBA website, but go to SBA website at www.sba.gov. We have different menu tabs, as John mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you know, various menu tabs where you can actually do a detailed research on various topics, capital, contracting and counseling. So we have a nationwide, you know, resource partners that are ready to step up to the challenge and help you get there, whether that's a funding, whether there's, you know, how to structure your business or how to gain government contracts. So listeners out there, please go to SBA website, www.sba.gov.
So Emily, crystal ball time. So where do you think this is heading in the next 5 to 10 years? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Or where do you think it's all going to end up?
I'm very optimistic. And you know, obviously, you know, we hope to do well as a business. I would hope to do so well we can have coffee and be on the radio with you every morning. but in all seriousness, of course, we hope to be successful as a business, primarily for our clients who we work with in commercial diplomacy space. And those range from businesses or individuals or federal government clients. And then I do hope to see the young women we're mentoring do better than we are, you know, in the future. And in that mural I referred to, you know, show them in the leadership roles in the digital age. And so I think that it is an opportune time for us to be on the air with you today talking about this. I'm very positive when you look at the data about what women are doing and how we're speaking out.
I have a friend who just ran the Boston Marathon. He had very specific goals he wanted to hit. And I'm wondering about this 5% goal. This guy really pushed himself to qualify for the marathon, and he's walking around in a boot now, hurt his leg, but he finished it. And I don't know if 5% is the right number. Maybe maybe this should be pumped up a little bit more. I mean,
perhaps
half the women in the United States and 5%. Maybe that's got to be – I don't know who makes these adjustments, who takes the guess, but I think it has to be maybe moved up a little. I don't know who's in charge of that. Are you in charge of that, Amy? Who
moved
that
not
big famous number?
Well, it's a negotiation between SBA and various government agencies, but, you know, 5 is just such a catch number. Not that 5 is a magic number, but, you know, like with the women impacting public policy, I think they built this, they coined this catchphrase called "Give me 5." Yeah, give me 5. High 5.
Yeah.
But I mean, as John said, you know, 5% is not a magic number. We would like to say that this should not be ceiling. This should be the floor.
Yeah.
So we have only a way to go forward. And just to give you some statistics, women-owned small business contracting dollars have seen tremendous growth over the past 3 years. You know, again, based on the statistics I pulled from Federal Procurement Database System, the program, you know, contract dollars have seen more than 50% growth year over year. This is a great, great opportunity. Another avenue through which, you know, women-owned businesses can actually grow and expand their businesses.
And I was at the Women Impacting Public Policy, WIPP website, and they talk about assisting women with contracting, assisting women with access to capital, and exporting opportunities. Who'd have thunk it? Ever think about that, Emily? I never thought of that.
We should be exporting opportunities. And, you know, contracting officers have a choice. I mean, that you can award to women, you can set aside for women, or you can even sole source for women. And so as we're expanding, you know, I think business partners, including male-owned business partners who've been very supportive of us, are looking at us for acquisition vehicles that allow us to serve our clients quicker through the sole source and set-aside mechanism. So, you know, there are lots of ways that you can export the power of women, I think, for the better.
So 1 year from now, Amy, you want to come back? And what do you think your accomplishments will be?
Oh, my accomplishment would be, you know, federal government exceeded a 5% contracting goal. And maybe we're at 7% or 8%, possibly 10%. That's what I'd like to see.
No lack of effort on your part, is there?
No.
Going around the country, going to Silver Spring, beating the drum, going backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Last few minutes of the show, if you can give advice, Emily, to maybe a woman who's listening to this, maybe thinking about starting their company, maybe a couple words of advice before we close out.
Don't give up and believe in yourself. There will be times where you will doubt yourself and have others doubt you, even by virtue of being a women-owned small business in the program through SBA. So continue to move forward and really overcome those challenges that will make you stronger. You'll get to meet people that are respectful of you, and you'll find out you know, who your supporters are, and you'll build a better business that way. So enter the workforce. I think women are too timid sometimes and too perfectionist. I know I certainly fall into that category. And it takes us a while to say, you know, go forward and set up a business. And so, you know, I've been able to collect the skills from my past experiences working with advisory firms and do my own thing. And it's been very empowering. So, you know, and then share your story, mentor other young women, and continue the trend forward and keep going.
So the quotes from Galaxy Quest: never surrender. Is that the quote? Never surrender.
I think women are always gracious about it. But continue to be tenacious.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Have to end the interview here. We're running out of time. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Emily Ray, president of Ray, RAE, Ray International, and Amy Kim, women-owned small business program manager at the SBA's Office of Government Contracting. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.